Now, I've just pressed the record button, which means I have to say something into this device, otherwise it'll be all a waste of time, it'll be another wasted opportunity in my life, and I'll grow up old and bitter, and I'll wish that I said something when I should have, and I won't have, and then I'll just end up being depressed, so if I say something now, that'll mean that in the future I won't be full of regrets about it. I mean, I've seen the Back to the Future trilogy, and as far as I'm concerned, it's all true. I mean, if you go into the future and then you go backwards, and then you go forwards, and you end up in some sort of a cowboy thing because the future you went to the past, and then the past you went into the present to try and save the future you from going into the future and getting stuck in the past. Well, that's the sort of thing that happens if you mess with the space-time continuum, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I rarely change the time on my alarm clock for that reason. And I mean, we're being told by the government this month that we have to put our clocks back for summertime, for daylight saving time, as it's called. I think we've got enough daylight as it is. I mean, I don't think they're going to get any extra daylight by messing with the clocks. I mean, now for some reason I can barely hear what I'm saying at the moment, and I can't. I'm finding hard to think, and that's why today's show is a little less organised than it usually is, and I really can't remember what my point was going to be, but turnips. Speak to you. It's a bright, sunny Saturday afternoon in March of 2007, and it occurs to me that Easter is coming, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. It comes at different times every year, but one thing is for sure, it's going to come. That's been decided by the Pope. He's decided you're damn well going to celebrate Easter every year, whether you like it or not. Well, celebrate isn't really the word, because you only celebrate the last day of the holy period. The rest of it is all about Jesus dying and getting nailed to a cross, and that's something we humans are kind of guilt-ridden about, because it's not very nice when someone comes along and says he's going to save you, and he says he's going to take away all your sins and be nice to you and teach you how to be good and happy and have a nice everlasting existence even after you're dead. It's not very nice to go and nail him to the cross and kill him, but we do ultimately celebrate Easter because this guy came back up out of his grave and popped up again, and it turned out he was grand. He had a few marks on his hands and things, but he was alive at the end of all the whole death thing, and that's what the main Easter Sunday is all about. You celebrate that he's still alive, and he's going to be grand, and he's not really dead. He was just playing dead, pretending to be dead, which is really a little childish when you think about it, because children do the whole playing dead thing. But they're not trying to scare a whole church of millions of followers into being God. They're just having a little game. When Jesus did that, he was trying to scare the crap out of everybody. He said, look, I'm dead now. You've killed me. I mean, what do you think you've done now? Do you think you've taken this a little too far? I mean, look, I'm here in my tomb. I'm lying here dead. You've put nails into my hands and my heart and stuff, and my face is starting to rot because it's been nearly 3 days now. And I hope you're all going to live a better life now, and with your guilt and all from all this. At least listen to what I said when I was alive. So we all go, yeah, sorry about that, Jesus. We'll try and make it up to you. We'll be good, and we'll not have any wars or anything for the next couple of thousand years until you come back. Well, not you, because you're dead, but you'll probably have a little brother by then who'll come back and take over the whole place. And we're very sorry for killing you. And there he goes, that's grand. And by the way, haha, I'm not really dead. Look, I've risen. I'm not dead. I'm going to float up into heaven now. I'm going to see my dad, and he's going to make me some tea. It'll be made with soya milk, because I'm a vegan. I don't like milk in my tea. Well, that's what Easter is all about. And we give the kids Easter eggs as a sign of it's a sign of veganism, because the chocolate is actually made with soya milk. It's not made with cow's milk or any other kind of milk. It's made with soya milk, out of soyas, which are grown in a field where cows are free to roam, but they're not eaten. and or they're not drunk. You don't drink a cow or eat a cow. Go into veganism. And it's an interesting concept, by the way, that when the farmers are making money out of cows, they keep the dairy cows separate from the cows that are going to be turned into meat. They've decided you can either eat a cow or you can drink a cow, but you can't do both. You can't spend a few years drinking a cow for as long as it can produce milk and then kill it and eat it. No, you don't do that. You have separate cows for eating, and you have other cows that are just for producing milk. And that's why milk tastes so damn good. These cows that comes out of have no worries whatsoever. They're not going to be killed. They're going to live a natural life, and they can just pump out 20 gallons of milk every morning into a machine. It's perfectly natural, and that's why we get to drink all this milk. And then the human milk, of course, is made under completely different circumstances. Humans are. Have to be treated well in the milk factories. I mean, you wouldn't get away with mistreating a human. So conditions in the human milking plants are a lot better than the conditions in any other plant, like a cow milking factory or an egg hen producing factory. I mean, you don't find the humans all cooped up in little boxes. You just wouldn't get away with that. Amnesty International would be onto it straight away. So humans are treated very well. And producing human milk, so that's fine. Scale of 1 to 10, how useful is a 1 to 10 scale as a measure of its own effectiveness? Now, that's a question that I've always troubled with, and I've never been able to find an answer. And for one thing, I've never approved of scales. I never find them very useful. I mean, if I get on the scale to weigh myself, I mean, I get on the left bucket of the scale. Something the same weight as me has to be on the other side of the scale to balance me. And I can't get something that's the same weight as me until I've weighed myself and I know how much I weigh, so I can find some objects that weigh the same as me and balance me out. So before I even get onto the scale, I have to know how much I weigh. And that's no use. I mean, I suppose I could get some weights by making a mould of myself and then filling that mould with coal or gold or something. I don't know. I mean, that would cost my weight in gold, and that seems a little expensive. Not that I'm saying I'm heavy or anything, but I mean, I'm made of high quality gold, and it would be more expensive. And at today's prices, I mean, petrol prices have gone up quite significantly over the last few months. So I presume gold prices have as well. And I want to get a high quality gold, not some cheap gold that you get in a cheap tacky goldware shop somewhere in the local shopping centre or something. I mean, I'm better than that. If I devalue myself, I mean, that's going to cause all sorts of currency problems when I go on my honeymoon in a couple of months. I'm going to South Africa, and I need to trade myself for a South African version of me for a couple of weeks so that I can have spending money to spend on the holiday. And if I devalue it myself by putting cheap gold into my mould to put on the other side of the scales, then I'm just not going to have enough spending money for South Africa, and it's going to be a problem. And then that'll be a really bad start to our marriage, and if I mess that up, and you know, that's, you can't have that. This seems as good a time as any to interject and mention that you can now stalk us in 9 ways. You can phone us, fax us, text us, leave voicemails or forum posts on the website. You'll find the details of all our phone numbers and contact details in the show notes on your iPod or at interhead.com/stalk. We'll be right back. also occurs to me that South Africa is about 2 or 3 hours ahead of Ireland. It's about 3 time zones away. And so as soon as I land in South Africa, I'll immediately be 3 hours older than I was when I left. And that's going to be a problem. I mean, how do I adjust my valuation for that? Do I count it as depreciation? Or do I treat myself as an antique that rises in value with age? And by the time I figure that out, I'll have aged even more. So hopefully it's the antique thing that I improve with age. Because I am aging. I mean, I'm 31 years of age now. And in fact, I've been 31 since January. So I haven't aged that much in the last couple of months. I'm still only 31. But one of these days, another of these damn birthdays is going to sneak up on me, and then I'll be 32, and then I'll be nearly Jesus' age when he died. And Jesus, of course, got a lot more done than me. I mean, he you can hear him at the moment in next door cutting his lawn. That's how busy he is, and he's not even alive anymore. I mean, you'd think that he had accomplished enough. With all his saving people and getting executed on the cross and all. But no, there he is out cutting the lawn on a Saturday afternoon in a normal housing estate in the middle of Ireland. And fair play to him, I have to add it to him. Gee, Jesus, you're all right, you know. You've obviously lived by good Christian values, and you're one of us, and well done. And then there's the whole scales problem again. I mean, you go into fishmongers and you ask, say, can I have one fish, please? And they'll give you a fish, and it's all very fine until you realise it's got scales on it. And that's a cheat, because they put the weighing scales onto the fish, so the fish has scales on it, and then they go and weigh the fish, because you pay for it by weight, it's priced by weight, and they charge it for the fish and for the weight of the scales, which is absolutely ridiculous. And in fact, they're going so far as to have two scales. They have scales that they put on the fish, and then they have a separate scales for weighing the fish with scales on it. And that's so that they can cheat you. It's all a con. I mean, fishmongers, as far as I'm concerned, are absolutely fantastic people, because I've just remembered there's one of them in my future wife's family. But I don't approve of that whole cheating thing. It's not appropriate. I mean, if you go into a butcher's and you buy a horse, they just weigh the horse. They don't add an extra weight onto it. They don't charge you for the weight of the scales, because you're not actually buying the scales. They're just for there to weigh the horse with. And although, in fairness, that's the special scales. If any tradesman or tradeswoman should be charging for scales, it's a tradesman who's selling horses, because that scales that you weigh a horse on must be extremely expensive. That's specialist equipment right there. And I suppose you should pay an extra price for the use of it. Although you shouldn't have to actually buy the scales, because your horse only needs to be weighed once, and then you're finished with it. I mean, if you only wanted to drive a car once to one place, you wouldn't buy a car, you'd rent it. So you should rent the scales and have the cost of the scales applied to your purchase, as far as I'm concerned. Ironic, really, that the scales is used as a symbol of justice in many countries. I mean, you see these big fancy old courthouses, and up you have pillars at the front and a big tall facade that looks like an old Greek temple at the front of the building. And then at the top they have a little bronze statuette of some scales, and they say, oh, these scales represent justice. And then you go around the corner and you find the fishmongers where they're using the scales to cheat you, as I just described. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's time to get some proper symbols for justice. I mean, we should have a picture of a But they used to have a picture of a cross above the door of courthouses, of course, but that was removed because it was considered too religious. But it wasn't there for religious purposes. It was there because the cross in ancient times was the equivalent of the electric chair. So it represented justice. It was nothing to do with religion at all. I mean, people get too upset about all this. And then, of course, you're not allowed to say, "Let us pray" in front of a classroom anymore in some countries because it's considered religious. I mean, we're not saying "let us pray" to any particular god. We're saying let us pray on others who are less educated than us. Let us grow up to be lawyers and doctors and politicians, and let us pray on the innocent and the less wealthy and the deprived and the vulnerable. Which is perfectly legitimate. It's nothing to do with religion at all. In fact, it's unreligious. It's more satanic than religious. I mean, we're preying on people. We're trying to bring up a community of snobs and educated people who will prey on others, and that's not religious. So, don't go telling me that needs to be banned in schools, because it doesn't. I've been out in my back garden for this entire episode of Into Your Head, and I've just noticed that there's an alarm going off somewhere in the neighbourhood, somebody's house alarm. Presumably someone's house is being stolen, and presumably the reason why the alarm goes off is to alert me, the neighbour, to the fact that there's some sort of a catastrophe going on. But I don't feel equipped to deal with this emergency. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, the alarm is going off on the house, so presumably someone's stealing the house as we speak, and they're moving it out of the neighbourhood, but it's moving very slowly, I assume, so I won't be able to spot which house is moving. I mean, all the houses in here, there's 160 houses here in Brantwood, and they're all exactly the same. It's a housing estate, and every house is identical, apart from a few little differences, like different curtains and different gardens and stuff. So unless this house moves a little faster, I won't be able to see that it's being stolen, so I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here. I can't just ring the police and say one of the houses in Brantwood is being stolen, but I don't know which one it is. If it's any use, it's not ours. It's not Puppy Cat House, but it's one of the others. If you come down here and take do some time-lapse photography, presumably you'll be able to determine which house is being stolen. But by the time you figure it out, the house will be gone. And that would be no use. You'll have to go into all the other estates and see if there's a house there that looks out of place. And that'll take a lot of time. It's a growing town. I live in Athy here in Central Ireland. It's a growing town. There's a lot of people moving down from Dublin to be here. They don't take their houses with them. I mean, the whole house moving thing is a technology that's only being mastered by criminals. That's why they tell you not to buy houses, because you're only funding the terrorist industry. They use this house moving thing to fund their weapons purchases or something. So people are advised not to sign up to house moving services like that, and just to buy a new house and move all your stuff and your family into the new house. I'm still listening to this alarm here, and I'm afraid I'm not able to help. I hope it's not somebody we know. I'll feel terribly guilty if I have to talk to them tomorrow and say, "Oh, what happened to your house? It's gone. Oh, I didn't notice. It went too slowly for me." And I mean, you know my eyesight and all. I'm not going to be able to sort this out. So I suppose another night of guilt is ahead of me. A sleepless, restless night of feeling guilty. As I speak to you, I'm feeling a little bit conned at the moment, actually, because I've just been out. It's the first warm day of the spring, and I've just been out and I've inspected our shed roof, which is taking a battering during the winter. Most of the felt on the roof has been ripped off in some of the recent storms, and I've been worrying about this lately. I've been thinking I should buy some new felt or try to repair it or something, because the felt is essentially the roof of the shed. But now I find on closer inspection that under the felt there is another roof that's made entirely of wood, and the wood is perfectly intact. So I feel that the felt was just a facade that was there to con me and trick me into buying more felt. And I mean, the felt manufacturers know that during the winter I'm not going to climb up on the ladder and look at the roof of the shed and see that there's a wooden roof under it. They're just going to think that I'll just go out and panic and buy more felt. And that's almost what I did, except I didn't have any money, so I didn't. And I'm lazy, so I didn't. But under any other circumstances, I would have. And that's just another way in which the system is conning us. Everyone is out to trick us and con us and make money out of us. I mean, I see my dog there, Chico, at the moment. He's a perfectly amiable character, but he's playing with a big stick at the moment. It's a post that I was going to use to make a fence out of. Well, he's out there playing and chewing away on the post, and he's trying to trick me into fighting for it. And then when I go and pretend to grab the stick off him, and he fights me for it, and he growls at me. He pretends that I'm not his friend. He tricks me into thinking he's angry at me, and I panic and I let go of the stick, and then he has the stick and he's won because he's conned me. I mean, everyone thinks that the whole way, the only way to advance through this world is to trick people and be mean to them, including my dog, who's supposedly man's best friend. Well, he's not my best friend. He's bloody doing all this to me. And he's there lying, trying to look cute now. He's lying on the grass there on his back and rolling in the grass and trying to look happy and stuff. I'm not falling for it, Chico. You don't con me. Don't stick out your tongue at me as well. I know that's supposed to look like you're happy. You're just sticking your tongue out at me being rude. And wagging your tail is just an extension of your arse, so you're wagging your arse at me. And you're just rubbing it in there, aren't you? Yeah, well, you'll be sorry when you get dry dog food tonight and nothing else in it. So now you mark my words. Now, Seanie Groger from Mattai Weekly World News is on holiday this week, so we're unable to bring you a full Mattai Weekly World News bulletin this week, but I will bring you the main news, which is that local residents are up in arms this week over a proposal to fine cat owners who fail to clean up after their pets. Speaking yesterday, a spokesperson for a Thai Animal Admirers Association said cats are by far the cleanest animals in the universe, who lick each piece of feces clean within an hour of producing it. Now that's the main news in a Thai this week, and Seanie Groger will be back from holiday in the next edition of Into Your Head with a full bulletin. Now, not for the first time on Into Your Head, you just join me at the end of a urination session. And I've been drinking a lot of some beer today. It's a hot day and I decided to have some cans of Guinness and I thanked them. But now I find they've gone all the way through my body and they've come out the other end, so I have to dispose of them. And it's with great sadness that I say goodbye to that last pint of Guinness. It was actually quite tasty and I'd rather keep it in my body. Although I suppose you have to evacuate it eventually, because otherwise your stomach just fills up with liquid and gets full, and it gets full right up to the rim. And oh, there goes some more urine. I shouldn't have flushed yet, but your stomach gets filled up to the rim, and then where there's nowhere else for the Guinness to go, so it starts the top of the water level, the surface starts going up your trachea, and eventually you're full right up to your throat, and you can't even get any food in at all. So you have to get rid of the liquids somehow. So that's why we urinate. But I'll miss that Guinness. It was nice. I suppose I'll have to go and drink some more now. So you join me anyway. I'm here in the toilet. I'm one of the three smallest rooms in my house. I have three toilets. I'm quite wealthy. I have a three bathroom house in here in Central Ireland, and a toilet is a wonderful place. You can read there, or you can eat, or you can defecate, and it's actually very, very exciting. So I like to go to the toilet as often as I physically can. And I'll just go outside now. Hello, Chico, the doggy. Hello, Chico. How's my doggy? Now I've kind of lost my train of track there, because Chico has jumped up at me for a start, and apparently there's an ice cream man there somewhere. And somebody wants ice cream, and so I suppose we've done
it. I'm in my jammies, you have to go.
Where is it?
just out there somewhere.
Okay, I'll go out and get ice cream. Chico! Apparently you have to go and get Chico, you're not coming. Apparently you have to go out and get ice cream now. So I suppose I will. There's nothing else for it, you have to get ice cream, so I'll just stop this for a moment. This week, because Johan Farrell is busy, as are all of my other co-hosts, and I'm going to bring you a lecture myself from the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme. It's entitled Pomatoriums, the Legal System and Carbonated Bananas. Now, I have to say, I've always been fascinated by the concept of the ancient Roman vomitorium. Constantly, we are told that the Mediterranean diet is among the best in the world. Yet, for millennia upon millennia, these people have been regurgitating their supposedly lovely food almost as soon as they've eaten it. And we're not talking about teenagers with eating disorders here. These are men and women of all ages and sexes. Nowadays, of course, it is de rigueur for the young generation to stick their fingers down their throats and try to dislodge the chicken bone that's been stuck there since dinner time. In my day, it was considered sufficient to clear a path through the zone that can be reached by a standard toothpick. But apparently modern kids have to poke the food out of their trachea, then get their stomachs pumped by a medical professional because they have become heavy with liquids. Clearing a path through one's trachea, it must be remembered, is not in any way similar to clearing a path through a snowdrift on your front lawn. For one thing, if you don't clear your front lawn, you can be held legally responsible for the injuries of anyone who comes to harm because of the frozen precipitation on the ground in front of your house. Leaving your throat blocked, on the other hand, has no consequences for anyone other than yourself, and most people are unlikely to attempt to pursue a writ against themselves in the civil courts. In fact, courts nowadays tend to dissuade members of the public from attempting to sue themselves, unless they are well adept in the intricacies of the legal system and have shown that they understand fully the financial risks involved. Anyway, two cats walk into a bar. One of the cats is a trained lawyer and is able to get through his evening without doing anything that results in litigation against him. The other cat, unfortunately, knows nothing about the law and recklessly goes about flirting with girl cats in the bar, spilling beer on the floor and offering drinks to other patrons. He thereby puts himself at risk of being sued for sexual harassment, negligence and manslaughter should the drink prove to be poisonous. Fortunately, none of these worst-case scenarios happen, and a good night is had by all. That said, I've always been a great believer in the dictum Esquilias acrobat agoraphobius, which, as you are no doubt fully aware, means there isn't enough room in here to swing a cat, and if there was, I would not do so anyway, as I feel it would compromise my position as the chairperson of the National Campaign Against Cat Swinging. Unless, of course, the room was in another nation, in which case, let's party. I've got some Rice Krispie buns and a bottle of fizzy orange in the fridge. And this brings me to my point. The number of chemicals that are put into oranges and other fruit these days to make them fizzy is an absolute disgrace. For one thing, the number of chemicals involved is 13, which everybody knows is an unlucky number and should never be used under any circumstances whatsoever. For another, it's not divisible by any other number that I know of, unless you're prepared to lower yourselves to the standards of those who would fractionize. I will assume that you are not. But apart from all that, all over the world monkeys are becoming seriously ill after eating these so-called fizzy oranges and carbonated bananas, and I for one say that it has to stop. Not least because it doesn't happen, and the phenomenon is nothing more than a weird thought going round in my head like a butterfly goes round your brightly lit bedroom at night. I always keep my bedroom brightly lit at night to keep the boogeyman out. The boogeyman has very sensitive eyes and cannot stand bright lights, so as a sign of goodwill, I leave a jar of soothing eye cream for him at the exit so that he can sort himself out later. I have never heard of eye cream and suspect that there may be no such thing, yet somehow I feel it is perfectly legitimate to make references to this in this piece of online journalism. Perhaps it is because I'm hungry and would quite like some eye cream at the moment. I'm not sure. I seem to remember the old Soylent movies had a lot of custard pies, which strangely enough were white, not yellow. and people used to throw them at each other and the custard would land all over their faces, including their eyes. Perhaps this is what I meant by eye cream. I don't know. Or perhaps it is a simple and rather stupid misspelling of ice cream. Of eye cream, a little used abbreviation of ice cream. Or perhaps my inner voice is trying to tell me something. I scream. A cry of hidden torment and discontentment. Anywho, I'm Neil O'Carroll for Joanne Farrell at the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme. So I sit here now out at the front of my house waiting for this famous ice cream van to appear. We heard the musical sounds coming from its gramophone, so it's definitely in the neighbourhood somewhere, but it hasn't arrived here yet. And I don't even know if it's going to come up our road, so I don't know what you're going to do. You can't go chasing after it. Well, I can't anyway because I've been drinking. I can't drive, and I'm not supposed to drive anyway, so... Yeah, I suppose I'll just go in and see if we can hear it from the back of the house and try and determine where these ice cream musical sounds are coming from. Because they must be coming from somewhere. I mean, the ice cream has to be somewhere.
Did you get ice cream?
No. There's no ice cream truck there. I have to find out where it is.
Yesterday I saw Morant just around the corner, just up there at the top of our entrance to our orbit.
And I can't hear him anymore. Back with you again, and the net result of that little adventure was that I did urinate, and I urinated some more, as you heard, after I flushed the toilet, so I flushed the toilet prematurely. But then the second part of that adventure was the whole ice cream van incident, and I went out and looked for the ice cream van, but apparently he doesn't come down our road. Our road's a dead end, and he's a lazy bastard, so he's not going to come down here and turn around just so he can sell me an ice cream, so... He just waits on the next road, and I'm not going to walk down there in this weather when it's all mild and warm and comfortable out. I'm not going to walk all the way down to get an ice cream and then walk back with it. So I decided to compromise, and everyone who was demanding ice cream was told, no, I didn't get an ice cream, but we'll go and get a takeaway dinner tonight, and that'll make up for it because. You either have ice cream or you have a Chinese. It's one or the other. You can't have both. The two don't go together. You'll notice when you go for a Chinese and you ask for dessert and the waiter will go, do you want some dessert? And you'll go, yeah, what have you got? And you'll say, we have ice cream and ice cream. Well, just a couple of balls of ice cream in a bowl. It's nothing fancy. I mean, I think they buy it in the supermarket and just heat it up in the microwave. It's not proper ice cream. And I don't like ice cream that's being heated up in the microwave. I find it a bit liquidy. And but there is a drink. What's that drink that you have at weddings that they have as an extra first course sometimes?
Sorbet.
Yeah. That's made from melted ice creams, and they often have that as a starter course at weddings. And we might well have that, but I'm not going to have it from a Chinese, because that would be ridiculous. We're having our wedding in an Irish hotel, not a Chinese hotel, because we're having it in Ireland, and it just won't be available. There will be no Chinese ice cream available if I have anything to do with it. That's not to say that I have anything against the Chinese, but I did find out this week that all of my websites, intoyourhead.com and matchthecats.com anyway, and presumably the rest of my websites, they are blocked in China. Nobody can access them there. There's nobody in China listening to Into Your Head because they're not allowed to. My show is being banned there. And my innocent little webcomic, Matchstick Cats, is being banned in China too. Just despite the fact that I've never said anything bad about the Chinese government. Well, up till now, of course, I'm criticising their ice cream policy at the moment. But up till now, I haven't said anything. I've kept quiet. And unless it's like that film is it Sandra Bullock, I think, is in it? Or what's the name? Tom Cruise, where there's all these future crimes going on and people get convicted of future crimes. They get put in jail because it's being determined that they're going to commit a crime in the future. So presumably the Chinese government determined sometime in the last 8 months that that I was going to say something bad about the Chinese ice cream industry. And I have to admit they were right, because I just did. So I suppose, yeah, that's a point. But I don't think it was fair to assume that I was going to do it. Hello anybody in China who's managed to listen to me somehow. Perhaps I'm being broadcast through an illegal pirate radio station or something. And I like to think that I am being broadcast into China somehow, illicitly. And now it's just occurred to me as well that the Chinese government, they don't speak English, so how are they going to know what I'm saying? I mean, I could say, yeah, China is crap. The leader of China is a paedophile, and his assistant is an alcoholic drunken murderer who kills little kittens for fun and then doesn't bother eating them. He just throws them he puts them in the recycle bin so that the people at the recycling plant have to sort through all these dead cats. And he's just because he doesn't like any of the people in the recycling plant, he decides to send them down a load of dead cats that they have to sort through. They have to pick out all the bits of paper and stuff that can be recycled, and they get mixed in with the dead cat and all. So that's just that's a bit evil, isn't it? I mean, yeah, so basically China is evil. So there's my future crime right there, goddammit.
Want to stalk us? Visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook. Call or text message the Stalkers hotline 24 hours a day. Leave a voice message on our website. Email us. Or Skype us. Details of our ever-expanding stalking service can be found at our website, intoyourhead.com, or in the show notes on your iPod, which you're holding right now. No, your other hand.